Okay. It's all in the heart. It doesn't matter if there's errors or mix-up. That's what made the little kids' stuff the best, when they weren't exactly on top of it all. But it's our heart. So I'm going to talk a little bit today about, well, the Holy Spirit, talk about the Trinity a little bit. We talked about baptism and Sunday school and things, and just the differences that there are. There are plenty of religions that don't believe in the Trinity. They don't believe Jesus was God. Some believe he was an angel. Some believe he was a specific angel. But we believe in the Trinity. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we believe God's on the throne. Jesus is sitting beside him. He's interceding for us. And the Holy Spirit, who dwells in us, works to guide us and direct us into being more like Christ, and sanctification, and being made holy, set apart, being part of God's children. Now, the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, and some people get, I think they get confused a little bit. It's either yes or no. He either is or he isn't. It's not a partial, it's not an almost kind of deal. The Holy Spirit's there or he's not. And you either have him or you don't. And that depends on you. You know, he wants to come in. He wants to be there. But that depends on you. God calls us. But it's our choice to accept that call. To accept what he wants to offer us. To accept what he's done for us. Now, we know God's word speaks to hearts about Jesus. And a sacrifice for each one of us. And the Holy Spirit wants to indwell us. But again, it's our decision to allow it or not. He's knocking at the door. Now, he'll forgive all sins. That's part of the deal. He forgives all sins. But we know there's all one that he won't. Anybody know what that one sin is? Can't hear you.
Going through your grave without being saved.
Yeah, that it's the one unforgivable sin is to grieve the Holy Spirit. It says the blasphemy is to grieve the Holy Spirit. That's to reject Jesus. That's not to draw, let him in. It's to reject Jesus, to grieve the Holy Spirit. And if we don't have the Holy Spirit, the Bible says we can't please God. We can't do the things he wants us to do. We can't please him. We can't, because we can't do good enough things on our own. We can't be good enough to please God. It has to be for him. Can't just be us. We're not able to. I want to read Romans today, chapter 8. I want to read the first 17 verses and then skip down to 26 and 27. And I want you to see how many times the Spirit is mentioned and how the Spirit is mentioned in these verses. It's Romans 8, 1 through 17. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, The Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His suffering in order that we may also share in His glory. And I want to drop down to verses 26 and 27. And it says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So I want to go back. You know, the very first verses, it's in the bulletin, are important. You know, that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. You know, the Holy Spirit signifies you are in Christ Jesus. But sometimes people will ask, and I've had people over the years ask, well, how do I know? How do I know I have the Holy Spirit? You know, I'm not quite sure. Sometimes I don't feel like it, or I don't feel it. How do I know for sure? Well, first of all, it's just simply believing. It's believing in Jesus as the Son of God, that He died for our sins. He rose to life. He forgives our sins as the Lord of our life. Being called to repentance, we accept Jesus on the cross for our salvation, what He did. Then we receive the Holy Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing what God says is true, an eternal life with Him. It's believing. You know, others may say, no, you don't. But you know, if you believe those things, you get the Holy Spirit. If you genuinely believe those things. And then some will say, okay, I think I already did that. But how do I know for sure? You know, there's still doubts in their mind sometimes when people, they're thinking, did it stick or was it just a momentary thing and it's gone? And then you need to say, Satan, get out. Because that's what he wants you to believe. It wasn't real. That attack generally comes right after you just accept Christ as your Savior. The attacks will come. You will say that it wasn't real. Other people will help you, or they'll try to help you. Say, well, do you have the fruit of the Spirit? You're new. I don't know. Do you have those traits? Do you show a renewed life? Are you different? Then some get to the bottom line, do you speak in tongues? Which I hope we never get there. It's not what we can do. It's not requirements that we have to do other than accept. You know, and once we get there, we may not see ourselves realistically to be able to answer a lot of those questions, especially if we're new and new believers. Most of the time, others will notice. But sometimes we don't notice ourselves, but others can tell. There's a difference. Sometimes we examine ourselves then. How do we examine ourselves? We compare ourselves to everybody else. That's generally how we examine ourselves. So we examine ourselves to others who we believe to be spiritual Christians. And we set them up as the standard of how spiritual we should be. And again, we're in error there. Sometimes we question ourselves. First of all, we start out questioning ourselves, am I good enough? That's always the bad way to go. Because the answer is really no. And we never will be good enough. But that's not what it's about, us being good enough. Am I filled with the Spirit enough? I don't think he sprinkles and measures out how much you get. I think you have it or you don't. You know, how can you be filled and say, is that enough? If it's filled, there's not room for any more. You've got it. And so sometimes I think people worry about, do I have enough of the Holy Spirit? Other things I think people think of, you know, am I enthusiastic enough? You know, go to church and, you know, or do I pray often and long like other people do? Or am I always expressing joy and excitement in my walk like they are, like we see other people? You know, others at church, they're saying amen, clapping hands, maybe raising their hands. And I don't, so am I failing? Am I less than they are? Am I not what I'm supposed to be? Am I lacking the Spirit? And again, I tell Satan to get out. Because everybody's different. The Spirit speaks to everybody differently. Should we be excited? Sure. But everybody has different personalities and everybody has a different relationship with the Holy Spirit. But he's called you to do things for him. And most of that pushes it back to performance standards. You know, am I meeting the standards that have been set by others? Well, those aren't the standards. That's back to legalism. We're making ourselves be legalistic. If I got to be like someone else, someone else's rules or the way someone else follows. And we get into, I failed. I'm sorry. I promised to do better. I feel guilty. Never being good enough. You know, I go back to there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You're not condemned anymore. It's gone. You've accepted Christ. He's covered those sins, past, present, and future. Should we repent when we fail? Sure. But we don't have to hold on to him because the Spirit's there. He's a guarantee of what God said was going to be true. We don't have to keep those things. Being filled with the Spirit, I think, is more personal. You got to answer your own questions based on you, not by others. You know, do I believe in Jesus and his work on the cross? Do I believe those things? It gets back to belief. Do I believe Christ is in me? Do I desire the things of God? You know, do I desire the things that he wants? Or am I stuck doing the things that I want? Who leads my life? Who leads? Do I follow what I want to do? Or do I follow what God wants me to do? Do I have a spiritual lifestyle or do I have a worldly lifestyle? What do I do the rest of the week? Maybe I show something on Sunday or maybe Saturday. What do I do Monday through Friday? Is it any different? Do I believe there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? Or do I let sin get me down over and over? If you believe it, you don't have to worry about that other stuff. He sets you free from the law of sin and death. You have freedom in that. You have freedom. The only holdback you can have is in obedience to what the Holy Spirit is trying to get you to do. That's the only thing that holds you back. It says you're not part of the world any longer. You live in the realm of the Spirit. You know, most of the time self-help people want to help the human trinity. The books you see and things, and they want to help, call it the human trinity, the body, mind, and spirit. And generally in that order. They want to help body, mind, and spirit. But Christians are to live different than that. They're to live with a different order. We're to be spirit, mind, and body. Body isn't to be first. Body is all the lusts and desires of the flesh, all of our selfish tendencies, our wants, and the things that we want to have. Spirit's to be first because that's the new place we live in when the Holy Spirit's in us. The Spirit gives victory over the flesh, so we need to invert that. We need to be spirit because the Holy Spirit's inside of us. We need to be obedient to that. Then we need to be mind. You know, he says, keep our minds on things above. Keep our mind on Christ. And then the body's last. It's important, but it is not first. So be spiritual first. I do want you to be sure that the Spirit's with a big S. There are some people out there today that are succumbing to spirits with a small S. Some may call them demons, but spirits, those kind want to keep you in check. You know, I recently watched and listened to a satanic leader that was big into Satanism, big into the satanic church, and he had accepted Christ. He had switched over and explained that they believe spirits follow your whole life. Little spirits. Demons follow your whole life, generation to generation. They follow you through from birth. They know your family history. They know all that thing, generation to generation. They cannot read your mind. They're not God. They can't read your mind. They can't read your heart. But they can see what you do and hear what you say. And with knowing everything about you and what you've done, you know, that's what your Holy Spirit's trying to get you to do, to live your life out righteously. To hold your tongue. To be in control, self-control. Those fruit of the spirits we talked about. They're to keep you with him and away from these. And that's where people, even just for fun or seeking, but you know, people just for fun have gone to, you know, palm readers and card readers and seances and stuff like that. But it's not for fun. God calls those out. Those are sorcerers. Those are witches. That's witchcraft. That's sorcery. Drugs fits in the same thing. But they go to these places and they're told what's happened that no one should have known about. Well, someone knew what happened their whole life. So these little spirits know and communicate with these witches or sorcerers that's doing these spiritual things. And they're putting themselves in a dangerous position. So make sure it's the big Holy Spirit. We are going to have an invitation, but I do want to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 16. It says, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by the Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I think we see the world around us not understanding because they don't have the Spirit. Some of them have the little spirits. So you have the Holy Spirit or you have nothing. You know, the Holy Spirit's Jesus' presence going with us. He said, I got to leave so the Holy Spirit can be everywhere. You know, he was a little bit limited in his time being in human form. He says, I must go, but the Holy Spirit's going to come and he can do so much more. He'll be everywhere. You know, the Holy Spirit, we ask the Holy Spirit to bring, be at church here and stuff, and but you're the ones that bring him. Because he comes with you. Hope he does. We all, by coming together, bring the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit in worship to God when we come together. If the Holy Spirit doesn't come with us, and if we don't fill this place by his power, then we aren't a church. We're just a club, just a get-together. Holy Spirit's not here, there's no message. It's just a speech. And I don't give good speeches. There's not prayer. You're just wishful thinking. Without the Holy Spirit, there's no power. There's no transformation of hearts and minds. There's no revelation of his word. Spirit speaks to us with all of those things. I want you to know you have the Spirit today by your desire to obey Christ, not others. Don't have doubts about the Spirit in you. Just trust him. Don't believe Satan's lies. He's always going to get you off track, point you in another direction, have you doubt. You know, the Holy Spirit came for all believers. Anyone who wants it. The Holy Spirit comes to guide and counsel and teach and reveal God's truths. Read the Bible, you might not understand it. If the Spirit teaches you, you will. You'll get more out of it. The Holy Spirit's there to guide your life if you'll just listen. So follow the Spirit. Keep your mind on things above. Use the Holy Spirit every day. He's there every day. He doesn't leave. You're filled. You're filled. You don't need to be tapped off. We may feel we do. We need to be tapped off a little bit. I need another little fill up. We may feel that way, but he's there. We just have to draw on him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for